Your name, please.
Margaret Truman Daniel.
And your position and occupation?
Well, I have two occupations. I'm an actress and I'm a housewife.
Mrs. Daniel, do you feel that a woman can successfully combine this business of a career and marriage and raising a family?
Well, my viewpoint is that it's difficult to combine a career and a home. I'm in the process of trying to do both. So far, my career has not interfered in any way with my home life. I intend to keep it that way, if I can. And if it ever does start to interfere, I'm afraid that it's going to have to go. Although I hope I won't come to this decision, because I like having a career.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality who will reveal to you, the American public, what she holds to be the responsibilities of her position in American life, produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service by this station. Mr. Kennedy's guest today is Margaret Truman Daniel, daughter of ex-President Harry S. Truman, and now the wife of Clifton Daniel, assistant managing editor of the New York Times. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy, Executive Secretary, Division of Radio and Television for the National Council of the Protestant Episcopal Church. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Mrs. Margaret Truman Daniel. What is there about the career that helps you with your work as a homemaker?
Nothing I ever did as a career girl prepared me to be a homemaker, I can assure you. No. I'm a very bad cook.
Well, no. I would think the cooking was extremely important, but I don't imagine it's of the essence of being a homemaker.
Well, it helps. Yeah, especially since I have a husband who likes good food.
And I wonder if this isn't pretty true of the American women today, that their whole training and education, and even their early career before they become married, really unfit them for being a homemaker.
Well, I don't know, perhaps, but I'll tell you a rather amusing little anecdote, if I may, about General Jan Christian Smuts of South Africa. He was the Prime Minister, and he came to visit us in Washington once many years ago. And he was a wonderful old man, very jolly, had a marvelous sense of humor, and I was in college at the time. And when we sat down to tea one afternoon, there were a lot of people there, my mother and father, and General Smuts said, "And what are you studying to be?" And I said, "I'm just studying to get my degree, and then I want to be an actress." This, he sort of let this go by, you know. He thought maybe he hadn't heard right. He said, "Was I taking any domestic science in college?" And I said, "Domestic science?" I thought, "What in the world is domestic science?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Aren't you learning to cook and sew and take care of a home?" And, of course, being all of 16 or 17 at the time, I rose up and said, "Indeed not." You know, this, nothing could have been further from my mind. But he wrote me a little card afterwards that said, "To the future domestic scientist." Well, he was quite right. I turned out to be a domestic scientist without any training.
It has seemed to me that a girl is brought up to be a complete individual, who receives the same kind of education, it's co-educational, goes to a career, and has a chance to express herself through this, and then all of a sudden, physically, she finds herself somewhat bound to a home and to children.
Yes, it's very hard. Right? I've come to appreciate this. I did a radio program a few years ago that was aimed primarily at the housewife. I was not one then. But now I can see how, during the day, they would really want to get out and get away from all of these things that they have to do around the house. It's very confining. It's very monotonous.
When you say it's monotonous, does this mean then that part of the monotony is not having a chance to express yourself quite fully?
I think it's the monotony of doing the same things day after day, and there's never any end. You cook a meal, you wash the dishes, then you have to cook the next meal and wash the dishes. You know, there's never any sense of accomplishment there.
But when you say that a housewife likes to get out, this is not pure and simple escapism, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think she wants something constructive to do. Not that raising children isn't constructive, it is, and taking care of your husband. But she would like to... I think she wants to talk to other people.
Do you think that somehow she feels this makes her a bigger, better a more capable person?
Well, I don't know whether this is in her mind or not, or whether she just wants the enjoyment of interesting conversation, meeting new people, being sort of in the swim of things. I know my husband has found this to be true. He does a lot of lectures during the season. Some are for the New York Times, and he wrote an article on how American women should read the foreign news in the newspapers, and it was in McCall's a few months ago. He had just dozens of letters from women saying, "I'm so glad somebody said this at last. I always want to read more foreign news, and we don't have it in our local paper," or, "We have it in our local paper, but it's not enough." And most of the letters were from women.
I've had a feeling, as I've talked with a rather large number of people, that we have a pretty big problem in this country, that women do not really understand their particular function and place, and men don't understand it.
This is difficult in that I think in recent years, speaking as a woman, we have been sold a bill of goods, whether it's good or bad, I don't know, that a woman should get out in the world. And I suppose it does confuse a lot of women who really have no great desire to get out and move around the world, who prefer to be homemakers. I have many friends who are just delighted to be at home, and I'm delighted to be at home and be with my children, but I also like to get out and do other things. But they have no great interest in doing other things.
What would you consider a modern woman's ideal role to be?
Goodness. I think it would vary so widely, I wouldn't have any idea.
Would there be any particular ingredients you think that would be necessary for her?
Well, are you speaking of a woman who's married and has a family particularly, or just any woman?
Well, let's...
I have quite a different slant on things now since I'm married and have two sons.
Well, let's talk first of all about the woman who is not married, and then let's talk about the married woman.
Well, I suppose that, first of all, the woman who is unmarried, she wants to be able to support herself very comfortably, and she wants to have a good job and be good at it.
Just for the sake of economic support?
No, the economic support would come. She wants the economic feeling of economic security, but then if she has a good job, she wants to get ahead, to do a better job all the time.
Does what she needs and wants from this differ in any sense, do you think, from what a man in a similar job would need and want?
Well, I suppose not, basically. I think a man is probably, many times, is more sure of what he wants than a woman.
You think this is perhaps because men have greater opportunity? The world is still somewhat a man's world?
No, I think it's just because that men... This goes back to your other question, that women still are a little confused about whether they should be wives and mothers or career girls, and men are not.
How about the woman who is married? What would be the ideal role here?
Well, I'm still rather new at this. I've only been married 3 years.
Oh.
I can only speak for myself. First of all, I want to be sure that my home is well taken care of, that my children are comfortable, and my husband's comfortable. And then, having done that, and having done all that I can do toward that, I want to act when I can, when it's convenient, as long as I'm not away from home too much. I did a show last week, television show, as a narrator. It was filmed right here in New York. It was very convenient. I worked very hard for all of one day, and the show has been well received. And as a matter of fact, it was about divorce. And it was a very serious program, daytime program. There again, aimed at your housewife. And had some excellent men on it who discussed things very frankly and candidly, and I understand that they have had thousands of letters about this program.
Discussing the matter of divorce, how much of the responsibility would you feel lay with the wife in the cases of divorce? as it came out on your program.
Well, of course, I must. I want to go back over that for just a second. It was. It was called. It was very misleading, I think, the title. It was called "The Marriage That Failed," and yet it was a discussion of marriage counseling services that have saved marriages. And the there was the Episcopal Church was in it, the Catholic Church, Baptist Church, Lutheran Church. They had a roundtable discussion of ministers, and which was very interesting. And they told the problems that had come their way, and that some people were reluctant to go and talk to their minister, and they felt that they had to break through to a lot of people, which I suppose is true. But I don't think that there. I don't think you could put the blame one way or the other.
Does any of it relate around this misunderstanding of what each expects the other one to do and to be?
No, there were no career women mixed up in this at all. That was rather interesting, yes. I think there was one woman who had worked most of their married life, but that was for economic reasons.
Did any of it come from a monotony of the housework?
Well, I think one woman complained that her husband had a lot of hobbies, and he said, they talked very frankly. I was quite startled. She said, you went out and had all your hobbies, you had a bowling team and this, that, and the other. And he said, well, I thought it was because you didn't want me in the house. And so they went on from there. But their marriage has been saved. I mean, they're quite happy now after talking to these marriage counselors. This centered around Detroit and Toledo, which apparently have the greatest numbers of these marriage counseling services. And they have cut the divorce rate terrifically.
I would like to ask you just one more question, and that is, do you have a religious conviction that's guided your life?
Well, I have several religious convictions, yes. I find it very difficult to put into words because all my life I've steered away from any discussion of religion or politics.
Yes, I can appreciate that.
The Episcopal Church has always meant a great deal to me. And I, when I was growing up, I was christened in the Episcopal Church. My mother's family are all Episcopalians.
Yes.
And my father's family are all Baptists. And I went to both churches for a while, and when I was a little older, I joined the choir in our little Episcopal church at home, and I sort of made my own decision. I went into the church when I was old enough. Mm-hmm. I was confirmed there.
And what sort of help or strength or conviction do you think that being religiously minded you've had?
Well, I think it is inclined to be a rather straightforward and calming influence. For instance, in a life that at times can be chaotic, and I think it's a very good bulwark against too many stresses and strains and tensions. We realize that most of it isn't terribly important when you come right down to it.
True. Gives you a new perspective.
Yes, it does.
Well, thank you very much for being with us, Mrs. Margaret Truman Daniel, and for being on Viewpoint.
I've enjoyed it.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality, produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Protestant Episcopal Church. Today's guest was Margaret Truman Daniel, daughter of ex-President Harry S. Truman, and now the wife of Clifton Daniel, assistant managing editor of the New York Times.